Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Okay, welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm Nina Pantic, as always joined by Irina Falcone. Hi, Irina.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Our special guest is Australian powerhouse Daria Gavrilova. Daria, welcome. Or Dasha, should I say?
Yeah, Dasha. That's way better. Thanks. No, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to have a chat. We've been in the lockdown, so I was like, yeah, sure, Irina, can we just chat?
You're probably not seeing
a lot of people, to be honest, right?
No, not seeing too many people. And also, like, as tennis players, we're trying to be even more safe, like, because we are still allowed to go to training, but we're just being careful. So we create our own bubble, and then within this bubble, there's another bubble. It's just, like, crazy, but that's okay.
It seems like Australia is taking the quarantine, the coronavirus, so seriously, because you were not out of lockdown, now you're back in lockdown.
Yeah, because our cases went up again, so they're probably gonna keep going up for a little while before going back down. But yeah, we're in stage 3 right now in Victoria, so not every state.
So even though you've been in quarantine and all that, I mean, have you actually stopped training at all during this whole lockdown and quarantine thing, or have you not really been able to train as much?
The first lockdown, we were lucky. We got all the gym equipment and back home, and I just did my own workouts, but I had like everything. I had barbells, I had, all the heavy stuff to train. I had the watt bike, so I was able to train almost as normal, and we were allowed to go outside and do sessions outside. And then we were allowed to get back on the tennis court a few weeks later, so that was okay. And now with tennis, the restrictions are not as strict, so we're able to still come to the tennis and train.
What's your thoughts though on when you'll play a tournament? Because I know we have a schedule tentatively starting from August onward. Where do you plan to go, if anywhere?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. I still have no idea. I don't think many people do, to be honest. It's like the two options, either starting in America or go straight to Europe. But I haven't decided.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know, everything's still up in the air, like with the, if it's all happening or not. So I'll just decide as late as possible.
I think the one thing that I've taken from this whole quarantine and whether or not the WTA is starting again is just, we know nothing. That's all I know, is that we know nothing, and there's nothing that's concrete. There's nothing written in stone. At the moment, though, are Australians able to come to the U.S.? Like, if you were to leave tomorrow for a tournament, if there was a tournament tomorrow, would you be able to head over this way?
Okay. No, we'll have to have an exemption.
And how hard is that to get?
Well, we apply for an exemption to go overseas. I think we're allowed to come to U.S., but the Australian government doesn't really want us to travel. So we need to have an exemption, and we all applied for it, and we still haven't had the answer. But, well, for example, Irina Rodionova, she got an exemption to play a World Team Tennis.
So quarantine, what have you been up to staying sane? I know not just training. Surely there's been a lot of new hobbies, fun things to get into.
A lot of TikToks.
A few TikToks. I don't dance on TikToks because I can't, but I just make fun of myself and post it anyway because it looks hilarious. What else? I've always been a bit like artsy. I I've been painting a bit. I actually bought some real clay, and I've been making like clay pieces and going to a studio and then firing them. I've made a few. They're all on my Instagram if you want to have a look. And, you know, playing with the puppy and smashing Netflix. You know, I don't read much, but I've just started like reading Lena's book. I was always intrigued on like how everything works in China, how does the Federation work, and how can a tennis player come through? And like, she was the first one to come through. And yeah, it's actually a really good book.
It's awesome. Have your wedding plans taken a bit of a pause because of this whole thing?
Yeah, we actually decided pretty early. We decided like in March that we're just going to postpone it till next year, because it was a win-win, well, or a loss-loss situation, like, because it's either no one's allowed to come to Australia or the tour is back and it will be happening during the wedding. So yeah, we just thought, okay, let's see what happens next year. But who knows what's going to happen next year anyway. I think we're in this new COVID world for the next like few years. So
for those who don't know, you're engaged to fellow ATP player Luke Saville. Have you guys wanted to kill each other during quarantine, or have things been going well at home?
Yeah, we've actually been fine. Like, we never ever fight, because Luke just doesn't bother. He's like, okay, you sort your stuff out, I'll come back later. So that's been fine. Yeah, like he was a bit upset when he wasn't allowed to play golf, but now that the golf is allowed, he just on some days he leaves home at like 5:30 in the morning and plays like two rounds of 36 holes, and then, you know, so I don't see him for the whole day. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm glad you did that.
It's healthy.
You need your own time too. Yeah, totally makes sense.
I've seen your TikToks, and I noticed that you don't do a lot of the repetitive dances that everyone does. And I'm with you. I really don't like that when everyone does the same thing. But you've done some crazy stuff, like the Vogue dance in the heels, and then the time like you were eating dirt, copying your dog. Like, was that dirt or cake?
That wasn't dirt. That was coffee.
Okay.
Still, you were eating coffee. I don't know a lot of people that just eat coffee.
I didn't actually eat it. I just put it on my mouth. That video was just in one go, literally. I don't know. It was just in one go. I was like, oh, well, that was good. But I don't do dances because I'm like, everyone does it. And then by the time I would learn it, it would be like a month,
old
one
news.
Month too late. So I'm like, I won't bother.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but it makes yours more creative. Awesome. I haven't seen Luke on a lot of TikToks, but I did see him on one, and it was the one of you guys kind of making fun of Nick Kyrgios, and I was dying.
Oh, it was just so funny. We were like, and Luke was like, oh, I want to do this. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, because he hates TikTok. He's like, just get off it. And then he's like, I want to do it. And he did it so bad. It was just so funny. We were dying laughing, like, when we were doing this TikTok.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying the TikToks. I know Travis and I, we did a few. Not as good as yours, obviously, but we did a few pretty funny ones. So the last time I actually spoke to you face-to-face where we weren't social distancing was Australia time. Yeah, and I know you were battling an injury at that point. Has this quarantine, I mean, in a sense, you've probably recuperated quite nicely, right?
Yeah, I've been pretty healthy. And yeah, I was meant to like come back the week everything was canceled. So that's pretty funny. Like literally I was going to come back like the week of Indian Wells, but just as I think it's a 60K in Canberra in Australia. And we were going to make a decision pretty late, like because we were like, oh, maybe you need a little bit more practice matches before actually playing the tournament. But then I was really playing really well, and like my injuries were coping. So then the decision was made for us, I guess. But it's a bit of a bummer. Like, I didn't think it was going to last that long.
I'm sure like you were just ready to go out there, especially because you'd been out for a little bit, right?
Yeah, since US Open last year.
Is there any protected ranking for you, or are you coming back from where you're at right now? Because you're like, I think you're like 200.
Yeah, so I've got the protected ranking, and it's like 104, and then that frozen ranking, the new system.
Gotcha.
The last time I saw you guys together was at the Australian Open playing each other. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
We played each other.
Yeah.
Rod Laver Arena.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Okay.
Dora, you crushed Irina. I know it's not nice for me to say that, but I remember being there and watching, and you're so good. You're both so good. But
I was on fire. I was on fire.
You and the Australian Open are like a really good mix. Like, I mean, was it 2 or 3 years in a row you made fourth round?
Yeah, 2 years in a row. Yeah,
that's impressive.
And then last year wasn't good, but
that's okay.
I actually like my last year was so bad that I'm not gonna lie, like it feels like this year is bad.
that's all about a low
perspective
bar.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hey guys, this is Irina Falcone. Today we had WTA star Daria Gavrilova talking about how she got Tofu as the name for her dog. Keep listening.
So you're Australian now. You have a very unique accent. So you were actually Russian, a little bit of background, and then you switched to Australia in 2015. Was that really, really hard to do? Because I don't think they let everyone in casually.
Well, I was 18 when I came to Australia. And when I got my residency, and you know, I don't regret it at all. It was like the best decision I've ever made. I love it. You know, I bought my first house. Well, we bought her first house. Sorry, Luke. We bought. And then I love Melbourne, and yeah, I don't see myself ever like leaving.
How often do you get to go back to Russia? Because I think that's where your parents are, right?
Yes.
Your brother?
Yeah. Yeah. So my family, they're still in Russia. They come visit me a lot. And especially like when the tour is normal, they come traveling on tour. And I come back maybe once or twice a year.
Has Luke met them or been to Russia with you? Like, well, how much does he know about your Russian part? Because he's known you since you were like a kid, like a teenager, right?
He's never been to Russia. It's like you need to apply for a visa, and it's a bit like annoying, and we still haven't got there yet. But obviously, eventually we will. We were gonna try to go to Russia this year. Maybe like after Wimbledon, but that never happened.
Was there ever any inclination for you to have the wedding over there in Russia, or did you always want to do it in Oz?
Oh, I never even thought about going in Russia. Like, I don't have a big family, and the family that I'm close with, they're probably going to be able to travel to Australia. So it's just a lot easier doing it this way.
Is your dog Tofu going to be the ring bearer? What's going to be the role?
Oh, he's definitely going to be involved. Yeah.
Why is his name Tofu?
I don't know how, but so why Tofu? So yeah, love Japanese. Me and Sam Stosur, we were trying this Agedashi Tofu in every Japanese possible in Indian Wells and Miami. And Indian Wells is known for good Japanese. And I just love the taste of it. And it kind of sounds like my name, Agidashi. And I really love Japan. But then I was like, I'm not going to call my dog Agidashi. That's just like too close to my name. So I just called him Tofu. But someone actually helped me. I made like a poll on Instagram, like, what should I call my dog? And someone actually said Tofu. And I was like, oh my God, that's the best name.
That person's that's probably so pretty flattered.
Yeah, she's pretty happy. She's Japanese.
Oh, that's funny. She must have known that you like tofu and Japan and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Sam Stosur, she just welcomed a baby girl into into the world. That's awesome.
She's really happy, and her and her partner, they're going to be amazing parents. I haven't met Evie yet, but hopefully when everything goes back to, well, some kind of norm.
It might be a while till you meet her.
I feel like everyone's been trying to improve on things a little bit during quarantine. And I heard that the WTA offered like a university to kind of help you guys. Yeah. What is that?
So I've been doing it. There is like their website with a few courses online. It's kind of like, you know, have you ever seen like LinkedIn courses that are online? It's kind of similar stuff, like improving your skills, like leadership skills, communication. But then there's also a whole like course from University of Florida, the athlete development course. So basically, this is like how you can get us, how you can be a specialist in athlete development. And it's actually really interesting. I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, maybe one day I might want to become one and help a little young Dasha.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Tennis.com podcast with special guest Daria Gavrilova. She's been ranked as high as number 20 in the world, and she tells us how she figured out what makes her happy. Keep listening.
Speaking of courses, I remember the last time we spoke, you told me about the science of well-being.
Did you do it?
I did. I actually recommended Nina to it too. And I've recommended quite a few people on it. And it's been quite extraordinary, like the findings of what you think makes you happy and what actually really does. And I'm just, I remember just being so grateful after talking to you, because I started doing that course and I was like, holy cow, this is really enlightening. Because I mean, I thought for me personally, it was very helpful.
Yeah,
in all aspects of life.
It's awesome. I really enjoyed it, and like I actually printed a few quotes and things out and put it in my diary so I can like go back and remember some things. And it some of the things are like fascinating. It's like, oh, really? It doesn't make me feel happy. And then you go back and you're like, actually, no, it doesn't.
Wait, so what was this course? I don't think I remember it.
Dash, go ahead. Give her the
okay, clip. There's my diary. There's my book. It's like what makes you happy in life? Like, and people just don't actually know what makes them happy in life. And it's probably, it's like 99%. We wouldn't know that all this like things that we want, we don't actually need it. And when you really go through this whole course, you realize that, because like you remember some of your experiences and then you're like, oh yeah, that's true.
Is there
like
an example?
It goes through let's say what we think will make us happy is like good job, lots of money, awesome stuff, true love, the perfect body, the perfect grades. But it actually doesn't. Like, there's things like that can make us happier, but okay, I can tell you straight away what things that make us
no, she has to take the course.
So, oh, my dog just like fell. So, five things we should want. Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay. Kindness, social connection, time affluence. So time affluence, it's like when you create time for yourself or for friends rather than always working. Mind control. So, you know, being mindful and, you know, healthy practices like working out, you know, meditation, yoga, and these things will make you a lot happier than, you know, wanting a better job. Because, like, once you get the job, you don't realize that, oh, okay, I got it, but it doesn't make you that much happier.
So I have two questions for you, Dash. One, were you surprised with the findings? And two, have you been able to utilize all everything that you've learned and like have healthy practices and used it in your daily life?
Well, obviously exercise, we always exercise. So that's easy. I've done a bit of meditation, but I struggle. I don't really like it. It's
a practice.
But I think I have to practice it. But I think like because I do a bit of drawing and a little bit of what I was like building things with clay, that's kind of similar because I really like switch off and I'm like all in, like I'm in the moment of creating something. I definitely sleep more than 8 hours. I like the motivation piece that you need to have a grow mindset over a fixed mindset. That's really good. I think I'm working on that and, you know, like chipping away at a few things rather than like going, okay, I want this, I don't know, I want to be the best tennis player in the world and win all the tournaments possible. And then the reality is like, it doesn't happen. You don't win every tournament. So then like I focus on just getting better on the tennis court or in the gym rather than like always being results orientated. And I feel like after this course, like it did make me happier. Like I started enjoying tennis more and like even some things like, you know, I don't really enjoy stretching or being in the gym all the time, but it kind of became like every morning I'd wake up and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to tennis. I'm going in the gym. I'm going to be working out. So that's really good.
I love this though. Cause as someone, I mean like, all right, you've been ranked top 20 in the world. Like you've won a WTA title. I mean, you're like a legitimate professional tennis player, but you've had to sit through injuries and now quarantine. So for you to be able to do something like this class that you've done where you're adapting and doing like, I don't know, this is work that applies to everyone, any job, any career. It's always interesting to see how tennis players keep going every single week, every practice, every match, but the way you broke it down makes sense.
And there's one more. Okay, one more that I really like. So make yourself a habit of re-experiencing the stuff as it was before. So before you got the good thing, and then you'll start appreciating it even more. So as like tennis players, for me, like re-experiencing like what I, that, I, you know, I started from like playing 10K tournaments, like futures. And then it's like, you don't get the physios, the food's not as good, the hotels are not as good. Everything is just not at the same level as the WTA tournament. And then like remembering that makes you appreciate where you are right now a lot more. And it applies to anything, like any job. Like she even mentioned like, okay, well, go back to your old job, like, see what it used to look like and then you'll appreciate your actual job a lot more. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, that's a great one to end on. And I think no matter whatever, you know, expertise you're in, whatever job you're in, I think that's great advice for everyone. So there's that course for anybody that wants to know it's a Yale course, Science of Wellbeing. And thank you so much, Dash, for taking some time. And Tofu, thank you for being a good boy and not barking and
to sleep.
Enjoying the podcast with us. It's been awesome to hear what you've been up to, and thanks for taking the time.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
From the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, this has been the Tennis.com Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to stay caught up. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major listening app, as well as tennis.com/podcasts. You can also see the videos of our episodes on Tennis Channel's YouTube page and Tennis.com's Facebook page. We're your hosts, Nina Pantic and Irina Falcone. We'd like to thank our team, editor and audio designer and video editor Christina Koseva, producers Alexa March and Sean O'Malley, and executive producers Shelby Coleman, Kyle Einhorn, and Andy Chu.